This is Emily Wright, tech editor and head of special projects at EG. And as with every week, we're still here. We're actually still here a day early because we remembered in the nick of time that it's Easter this weekend and therefore a bank holiday on Friday. Actually quite difficult to remember things like bank holidays and Easter weekends in the current climate when every day feels like it could be any other. But we remembered, so we're here a day early. And I am joined today by our editor, Sam McClary, and by our residential reporter, Emma Rosser, as well. So we've got Sam back on the podcast and Emma is making her debut. So Emma, thank you very much for joining.
Thank you. Hello.
And hello, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be back.
It's nice to have you back. So I think it would be good to start off, as we always do, finding out how people are doing, how people are faring. We're sort of going through this journey as with everybody else. So I'm kind of guessing that it's useful for people listening in to find out how we're getting on. That makes us sound very arrogant. But anyway, I actually want to come to you first, Emma, because you actually had quite a Herculean task just before all of this lockdown came into force, and you moved house and you were left, I believe, without much in the way of sort of utilities being set up. And it's been something of a struggle. So how's it going?
It's going. I'm surviving. I have lots of DIY hobbies now, so that's interesting. I moved on the Friday, and then over that weekend was the sort of state we're going to be working from home, and I basically haven't left for a month now. So I managed to get my washing machine and my fridge, which has been a real game changer. and then every day there's this, I've got a kettle. So slowly it's becoming more of a home than a cave, but my DIY efforts at the same time mean I'm sort of reversing that as well. So a lot of wood chip wallpaper has been removed. And as we're coming up to the Easter weekend, hopefully a lot more will also be removed. So, yeah, it's been really weird.
I can imagine. It's so exciting, but such a change as well to go from one space to another and then be in that space pretty much, well, constantly. Yeah. So how have you found that?
As it all sort of started, and you saw a lot in the press as well with people who were kind of locked and not able to move, and I was definitely, so pleased and happy that I got my move in and I was able to be there and sort of get used to the flat, and it's been intense. So I think I've been lucky, but it's a bit lonely as well sometimes. So I've had lots of calls with people, which helps. I started FaceTiming some people, so I'm really sorry about that, guys, but it really helps. I guess like new ways of living and evolving, but I am pleased to be in here, I guess, ultimately.
And we should probably point out, I'm sorry, I'm revealing your secrets here, but there have been many different sort of methods of drinking various drinks from wine to water that we've seen. And I do believe, was there an empty pasta jar?
It's a real shame we haven't got the video on, Emily, because I'm drinking out of my trusty tomato and pancetta pasta sauce jar right now, and you're missing it.
It is a sight.
I keep the mugs for Prosecco, though, on a Friday.
The mugs for Prosecco, pasta jars for everything else. Excellent. Well, I hope it continues to go well and that you enjoy your Easter weekend of DIY. And Sam, how have you found everything? Because we spoke for the first time coming up to, I think it's 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, when this was all very new, and it's not so new anymore.
It was all very new. And I think you haven't spoken to me for a little while just because other people want to hear other people's voices. But also I went off on my honeymoon, so which I didn't go very far. I went maybe to the kitchen, then to the lounge, some time in the garden. It was great.
Where were you? I mean, I think it might be worth telling our listeners, where were you meant to be on your honeymoon?
I was meant to be in Grenada, which would have been lovely. My dad actually is out there still on lockdown on a boat. I think he's in Prickly Bay in Grenada. And I keep saying to him, have you spoken to the consulate about, maybe trying to get home? And he's like, no, I'm quite happy here. Thanks very much. So you know, I guess we all look at this situation in different ways. But yeah, how am I doing? All right. I think it's kind of dawned on me a bit this week, especially chatting with all of our wonderful team, that I'm really starting to miss those little sort of micro interactions that we have with each other, where you might not be having a conversation, but you're, as I do often, you know, listening into someone else's conversation, and then you jump in with something, and we, you know, sort of get ideas from each other and get a bit of energy from each other, listening to each other on the phone, or people going out to meetings and coming back excited or with a little news tip or something. And while we're all communicating really well virtually, you do miss those little bits, and it does make you know. I don't think I'll be giving away any secrets when I say all of us have had moments where we've just felt a bit sad because we've missed those and a bit lost, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And just a little bit of a plug that we've got a piece coming out. Well, it's coming out the same day as this podcast on some of the things that people in the industry have missed, things that technology, no matter how amazing technological advances may be, just can't replicate. So have a look out for that. Emma, would you agree with that? Those sort of chance encounters and a little bit of eavesdropping is something that you've missed?
Yeah, it's that background noise that I always moan about, that please bring it back. Like now, it is, seeing people. I walked past on one of my walks this week, my socially distant walks. I was saying to Sam, a bus driver just grinning and smiling, and because now, you know, I think everybody's missing it. It's not just us.
No, absolutely.
I think the greatest test of that for me was, he might hate me for this, but the wonderful Graham Schoen in our office, who's our head of sort of workplace research, is not known for liking the chat that we have sometimes in the newsroom because he needs quiet to look at spreadsheets and do his very detailed work. But when I was speaking to him, even he said that he misses that background noise, which is, you know, that is a moment in time that we should mark down, that Graham wants the noise.
I had not heard that, and I'm shocked to my core. But it's nice to hear. It's nice to hear that people miss the noise. And I think everybody has been saying, haven't they, that there are things that we take for granted that hopefully, I mean, fingers crossed, that when we return to relative normality, there are things that we really will appreciate. How long that will last, I don't know. But let's hope. Let's hope we can all remember this and make that sort of thing last. I'm continuing my ongoing mission to stay away from the hula hoop cupboard, and I say that with not one but two empty packets of hula hoops on my office desk right now, which is just for today. So it's really not going very well, but you know what, lockdown times call for lockdown measures, so that's how I'm getting on. How have things been in the wider industry though? I know it's been another very unprecedented week. Last week I spoke to Pui and Lucy, and they were pretty honest and upfront and said, there's not a huge amount of outwardly good news at the moment, even though we should be looking for the positives. How are things looking at the moment? Sam, let's start with you.
Well, I think this week has been the week of the furlough, hasn't it? I think not a day has gone by where we haven't written a story around particularly the agents, I suppose, furloughing staff, especially those sort of in advisory roles, because, you know, sales and deals, transactions are slowly drying up, just because, you know, it's really difficult to do due diligence. You obviously can't get in and see buildings, and virtual viewings only work if someone has photographed that building before. So it is difficult. And while there is probably a want to invest and a want to find new space for those offices when we do get back to work, it's just difficult to do it. So business is slowing. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of furlough action and a lot of people wanting to know, well, what does that mean? What does it mean for me if I'm a business? What does it mean for my employees? And, you know, how do we navigate this storm together and come out the other side? And I know a lot of the businesses that I've been talking to, you know, the senior leaders are taking pay cuts to make sure that they are able to put some money back into the business and then topping up their employees' salaries. There are a lot of businesses that are having sort of weekly catch-ups with those that are on furlough, so they still feel like part of the company, pushing training projects to them so that they can, you know, the worst thing, isn't it, would be to feel useless at a time like this. We all need stuff to do, and while I'm sure there are many parents out there who are thinking, I'd like some stuff not to do, because it all sounds a bit crazy if you're a parent, but you do need to feel useful. I think I would anyway, to to be able to survive this, I suppose.
I think that was
a bit morbid, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's important, you know, have to be honest about what's happening, and everybody's reading about it. So, but I mean, I think right from the beginning of all of this, we've known that apart from, you know, the high level economic impact and the business side of it, that ultimately, as we've been saying for many months and years and has always been the case, business comes down to people. So we've always known that at its heart, this was going to really impact people and people's mental health as well. And this is the week, I think, that people have started to really feel it on a very personal level when it comes to their roles in the companies they work for, the jobs that they do. And as you say, it's very, very difficult because nobody wants to feel like they no longer have a purpose. So before I come on to have a chat to you, Emma, about what you're noticing, Sam, maybe putting you on the spot a little bit, but do we have any kind of idea as to how well companies are dealing with this and how well they're taking people's mental health into consideration? You mentioned there that they're sort of trying to get people involved in projects, but I suppose it's all very new as well, so everybody's trying to find their feet with it. Do you think that the sector is doing a good job?
Yeah, I think like everything, there are those that are doing a really good job, those that maybe aren't, and probably quite a lot of people that just aren't really sure what to do, which is where I hope we can play a role and bring together experts from across the industry and outside industries to help. Which is why we've got our coronavirus hub, why we're trying to push out lots of stories for people to learn how to deal with this. But I think, you know, from the leaders that I've spoke to, they really are learning as well. But there is a lot of care for employees, and I think, you know, if we take anything away from this, it has to be that, doesn't it, that you've got an understanding of who your people are and exactly what they do for your business, and how, you know, if we really are a people-driven sector, that you have to value them above and beyond, because without them you don't have a business. So you've just got to put them first.
Good message there, thank you very much. And Emma, how are things going in your world? I mean, we've spoken a lot on this podcast about what's happening across the sector, but we've also looked at, you know, what's happening with the future of the office. We've talked a lot about retail and leisure, of course, but it's great to have you on today because we can really sort of get under the skin of what's happening in the resi world. So take it away.
Yeah, I mean, in the resi world, it's not an overly positive picture either. Obviously, the home sales is an area that's directly impacted. So last week we had the government coming out and saying, effectively freezing the housing market, saying that all sales activity would need to pause, apart from those critical home moves. And on top of that, you've got material uncertainty and evaluation, so no one can get a mortgage anyway. As a result of that, as Sam was saying, with the furloughs happening kind of in the wider industry, it impacts residential as well. So I've seen lots of agents taking to Twitter and talking about the fact that they're on furloughs on Twitter. There's also talk of that happening at some of the bigger agents as well, which makes sense because, you know, they can't sell at the moment. Off the back of that, we started the week off with Knight Frank having a revised sales forecast, which is really sort of trying to understand what this could mean for the year. So they're anticipating that the pandemic will prevent more than 500,000 home sales. So that would bring us to 734,000 transactions. And that's a drop from 1.2 million last year. And alongside that, house prices are also going to drop by 3%. Obviously, this is all estimation and there is so much uncertainty. No one really knows how long we're going to be on lockdown, you know, when it could all come back again. There's lots of kind of statistics that have started flying around this week of, I guess, trying to put a number on it and trying to understand and having that kind of element of honesty as well so that we can understand the situation and where to go from that. So Zoopla had new sales falling 70% since the start of lockdown, which, you know, to many be no real surprise there. And our own data from the London residential research team as well shows that in March, half the number of schemes brought to market in London, so for sales, we had half the number in March compared to the same time last year. And you'd be expecting these to be going up as development's going kind of increasing as well. If you were to look for positivity, which I've been desperately trying to, you know, find where there might be some sort of silver lining or some sort of trying to weigh out of this and something to look forward to, Knight Frank, you know, with their forecasts, they are expecting considerable upticks in 2021. So, you know, rather than this being a crash comparable to 2008, where you've got, you know, a big drop and then a slow crawl back. They're really looking at this as more of, you know, coronavirus is more of an isolated event. So 2020 could be, you know, it did drop, but it has a faster return. And I guess if you were to think, you know, where that might be happening already. So I've been looking at China this week and trying to talk to as many agents as I can to find out what's happening in China. There was reports last week that house sales were up in March, and you know, throughout the press as well, we've got pictures of people coming out in Wuhan, coming back out onto the streets again, going to food markets and kind of not necessarily normal life, but it's on its way up. And I think we all need to see that as well, to know that there's a way out at the end of this. So I mean, alongside that, we've also got this, you know, if this house sales are picking back up again, it does paint a potentially positive picture whilst it's still clouded in uncertainty. So I was talking to Galliard this week. They flew their sales director back, so she's going to self-isolate for 2 weeks. So they opened their China office a few months ago. She'll self-isolate for 2 weeks and then go back to work. So trying to get this getting pre-sales for the schemes that they've got in London. And then talking to a lot of agents, they say the third parties that they work with in China as well. Apparently the WeChat conversations are firing back up again, and those conversations are happening and there is a hope. A lot of agents are also really cautious though. So you're trying to tie them down and you know, on the record, could this be a positive thing? You know, that they're still reluctant to tie to that. And some are saying, well, you may be in June or July that might pick up again, but it could be more realistic that it might be September, I think.
I think it's interesting that, Emily.
Yes, of course.
I think, yeah, there is some sort of green shoots, isn't there, coming out from China at the moment. We you know, we had some news from Capital Land this week saying that they've reopened every one of their shopping centres in China, and that the feedback from their residential sales offices is that, you know, they are actually making some sales. I think they said they'd sold £150 million worth of homes, which was 5.5 times the value that they achieved both in January and February. And okay, that value would have been very small, but, you know, it is a trickle of business coming back. And they had a scheme that they opened and that sold out within 4 days. So there's definitely demand out there, and you know, footfall is increasing across its malls now that they're open again. Office tenants are coming back in, employees are coming back to work. So, you know, none of us expect that this will be finished and then it will be back to normal straight away. There's, you know, there's always going to be a lag, but there is normalcy coming back in those places that were hit first. And I think we do have to hang on to that a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those situations where when you're in the midst of something difficult, it can be quite difficult. Double use of the word difficult there. It can be quite tough to imagine. I'm such a wordsmith. It can be tricky to imagine a world that's different. And in this situation, I think because it was all so quick and such a shock, people have barely had time to get their heads around it. And because it's such a severe shock, and it's, you know, it's multifaceted, isn't it? You know, we're worried about business and economy and sales and deals, but we're also worried about health and relatives and friends and family. And we're also worried about, you know, having not seen people. And there's so much stuff going on that I imagine it can be quite difficult to find those positives when things feel quite so challenging. But it's important to remember those positives and remember that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen to the economy and we don't know how big the hit will be, but this is an isolated incident and there will be a way out. So it's encouraging to hear the news from China. And I believe, I mean, we spoke to Emily Yell from she phoning in from Singapore a few weeks ago now, actually, saying that, I mean, things kind of stabilized there quite quickly, more quickly than I think we could ever hope for. But that once things stabilized, they did return to normal pretty quickly. So fingers crossed. I think that's a good mantra to have at the moment.
I think it's difficult because we're also, I mean, you know, this is week four for me in the flat, but we're also still at the beginning. And so when we see China coming out the other end, we know that we still have a lot of that to go through. And so that's tough as well.
And the other thing I wanted to chat to you guys about before we sign off, because I'm trying to keep these podcasts, you know, short and sweet. But one thing I wanted to have a chat to you and get your opinion on is that a few people are sort of starting to tentatively call for an exit strategy, starting to sort of call for government to come up with some clarity on how we're going to sort of come out of this. Now, controversial or not, my personal opinion is that that's all a bit early and that we're still, surely the most important thing, and I know, you know, obviously economy and business is crucially important, but that right now, you know, as we enter or near the peak, that the health and safety of people and the health and safety of our doctors and nurses should still be at the forefront. I understand why people are pushing for an exit strategy, but I think it's a touch early. What do you guys think?
Emma, do you want to go first or should I?
I'll go first and then you can round it off if you like.
Go for it.
I think, so government intervention. So I think a couple of weeks ago when I was looking at the house builders, you know, cancelling their dividends and drawing down debt and pausing on sites and, you know, and it was sort of chaos. When I was talking to some of the analysts, they were saying, when we're coming back out of this again, there will be a need for government to support the house builders. And they'll look to the house builders as well to be, you know, as a kind of an economic engine to be creating and continuing and getting that momentum. And so there's been lots of talk, I think, about, you know, help to buy would need to be, you know, whether or not they would continue to probably extend that. This week, lots of people talking about stamp duty. So I think something that was noticeable and was the RICS, the Resi Market Survey, where the agents anticipating drops, not just for the next 3 months, but also for the next 12 months. So this isn't necessarily going to be something that will be very quick to solve. And as a result of that, RICS really saying that there needs to be government intervention to help that. What they're suggesting would be a stamp duty holiday is one solution. Hugh Edgar, the RICS head of government relations, he's saying, you know, RICS is not an organisation that would call for a stamp duty holiday on a whim. And indeed, our view prior to COVID-19 was that it required a full-scale review. But because of, you know, what's happening now, really changing their stance and asking for those measures. I think another area that could be a potential solution and a potential way for kind of government support as well is seeing Homes England step up. And they had their year end last week and announced, you know, a flurry of deals, and Nick Walkley, the chief executive as well, has really put out to the industry how can they support house builders and the SMEs as well. And I think that those conversations are happening, and that can only be encouraging as well.
Thank you very much. Sam?
So I think I tend to agree with you, Emily, which is maybe a first, but
I am truly honoured.
I don't think we should rush out of this just for businesses' sake. I think, you know, as I say, we have to put humans first, and I think. And this has been a bit of a bugbear of mine this week, and you know, I might not make many friends by saying it, but I think we need to calm down a little bit on taking the support that the government is offering. And I'm a big believer in you should only take support if you really, really need it. I think these are tough times, and we all know that, and they're going to hurt a little bit, and some of us can shoulder the pain a bit more than the others, and those of us that can shoulder the pain should do so and make sure that support is available for those that really need it. And if we're all taking the support because we can, it will run out. So I think we have to be really mindful of that and allow a slow and steady and sustainable exit from this, you know, really horrible situation that we're in. So yeah, I just hope that people are cognizant, is that the word? Yeah. Of that.
Another wordsmith.
Yeah. But you know, we just have to be mindful, respectful, and do what we can. And you know, I've sort of this week personally, I you know, it dawned on me that there's no way I can complain about the situation that we're in at the moment, in that, you know, if I get a bit grumbly, as I have done, about, oh, you know, I'm stuck inside, or having to work from home, or I miss these micro interactions, you know, I'm one of the lucky ones that has a place where I can work and work within space, have a garden. And there are plenty of people that, you know, are working on top of each other, or, you know, have lost their jobs or been furloughed and just don't have the space to get out and still enjoy the world. So, yeah, I'm in favour of slow and steady and considered, which is quite unlike me, but that's how I'm feeling right now.
Well, it's a very, very good message to end on. I think earlier you said slow, steady and sustainable, which has alliteration to it too, which is even better, but considered also a good word. See, we are wordsmiths. We've proved it right at the end, and then I completely debunked it by saying we've proven it. But thank you both so much for joining me on this, which is our third or is it our fourth? I've lost count.
I think it's fourth. Emily, before you sign off quickly, sorry to be alpha, I can't help it.
No, I know.
Can I do one last little thing, which is just point people to our COVID page on EGI and to our social media channels, because we have put out an open letter from Damien Wild and myself around what we are EGI doing to help, or trying to do to help. So there's lots of things that we are trying to do, including, you know, creating some free to access content. We want to help charities and public sector organizations that are seeking space or advice. So there's details on there for anyone who is in that sector. We're trying to help all of those individuals who are looking for work. And magazine subscribers as well, if you are missing your physical copy of the magazine because it's going to your office, we've got ways for you to change that so it comes to you at home. So yeah, do go and check that out. Look on, I've tweeted about it. It's on my LinkedIn and across all of the EG social channels too. So please, please do make use of that.
Great. Thank you very much. And as just to finish off, thank you to everybody who has been listening and is continuing to listen. And we will be back next week, back on Friday, because there is no better day than Friday, if you can remember which day of the week it is. We will be back next Friday for episode 5 of We're Still Here.